What's going on, everybody? Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, available as always on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Louis DiBiase here joining you on this Monday edition of the show. Not a victory Monday, which we thought it was going to be yesterday as the Eagles fell to the Carolina Panthers at Lincoln Financial Field by a final score of 21-17. Louis DiBiase here joining you alongside Lars Lewis joining me in studio today. Lars, thanks for being on the show once again, pal. And just, it was a game, you know, just starting into it. It was a game that I'm sick to my stomach still thinking about the game, truthfully. When you think about all the things that were going right for the team heading into the fourth quarter with Carson Wentz, how good he looked, completing 80% of his throws. Him and Alshon Jeffrey and Zach Ertz along the sidelines, they looked unstoppable. Dallas Goedert getting involved, he scores a touchdown. The offensive line was giving him time. The defense was locking down Cam Newton and the Panthers. They were taking away the running lanes for Cam Newton. Jim Schwartz was switching around different formations. It looked like for the third or second week, yeah, really the third week, because Minnesota counting as well, that Jim Schwartz had adjusted and his defense looked, you know, better for it. And then suddenly, you know, what I like to compare it to, Lars, is really, it's like a demo of a video game. Like you get a feel for it. It's kind of like we're playing the 2017 Eagles demo. We get to see it for a little bit. We get to play one level. We might get a good win like last week against the Giants. And you're like, here it is again. Here it is. Like, this is what we enjoyed last year. And then it's not actually the real thing this year. It was just a demo. And with the Eagles in 2018, the 2018 Eagles came back yesterday and blew a 17-point lead in the fourth quarter. Now 3-4, and it changes the total tide of the season. It changes everything we would have talked about today, because at 4-3, you beat a really good Panthers team at home once again.
This is a bad loss.
We're probably talking about Carson Wentz as an MVP candidate with how good he's been this year. I mean, Lars, he's completing 70% of his throws. He has 10 touchdowns this year to only one interception. He's playing better than he did last year.
He probably had one of the best first halves I've seen any quarterback have.
And yet they're 3-4, and I keep thinking about all the possibilities of how I'd be feeling if they won, and I keep getting that sick to my stomach feel. And it's going to be hard to shake all week, and it's really, this is what this whole season has been. Is just trying to move forward the next week, and it's all the what could have beens, because they're not getting blown out of any of these games. They're honestly 2 fourth-down stops away from being a 5-2 football team, and we're still thinking about a first-round bye, and we don't have to hear Doug Peterson talking about how, you know, the bye is probably out of the question now, and it's really focusing on winning the division. And
the whole, just, quote, pressure is off of
right
them now.
And it's just, you know, what a tough loss. Again, the Eagles lose 21-17, and you know, the takes, if they would have won, would have been a lot different. You know, Alshon Jeffrey is a bona fide number one wide receiver. Another 80-yard game yesterday and a touchdown. He was making some incredible plays. The defense, the pass rush got to Cam Newton all day. Again, Carson Wentz, we would just be talking up Carson Wentz. Like, the NFL's been talking up Jared Goff and Pat Mahomes. It would have been really the Carson Wentz week with how good he's been playing. And now what we're talking about is yet again another collapse. And that's what 2018 has been so far. If they don't steer the ship right quickly in the yearbook at the end of the year, it's going to be 2018, the story of the self-destructive Eagles. Self-destruction, the story of
that,
the 2018 Philadelphia Eagles.
You think that an underlying tone of the game, I would say defensively, they got to Cam Newton, yes. I think they struggled in the outside run game. You looked at the jet sweep they had
especially
in the second
late
quarter. Yeah, especially
late
as well.
McCaffrey driving down the field. They couldn't finish tackles either. And that, again, we're beating a dead horse, Lars. It's the same things that this team is killing themselves over. It's the reason it's costing them games, and it's all on this team. That's why, if I had to label right now what the season would be titled, it would be self-destruction. Because that is what is happening with this team. There are so many players still on this team that were a huge part of that Super Bowl win. And that's why it's so frustrating, again, is that
we're seeing
the greatness, and it's going away.
But this is the thing. Football happens. This happens. Of course, the rule doesn't apply to one certain team in a certain town, in a certain state, with a certain Sith Lord running it.
But the way it's happening is what's driving me crazy.
And it's happened every Super Bowl champion, with the exception of New England. for what? How many years? This happens.
Okay, but let's go.
They're not playing
with
terrible.
Those, with those other Super Bowl, but that's why it's so frustrating, is with those other Super Bowl champions, with the Denver Broncos, why did they win? A historic defense, right? Why did the Ravens win? Joe Flacco got hot at the right time. Their core, it was a last stand. A lot of their core defensively retired, right? And they lost Anquan Boldin and Torrey Smith in Baltimore. Why did the Giants win? Because they got hot. And again, the pass rush was on their final stand. The Seahawks, too, a historic defense. All those things weren't sustainable.
I think
the
they
kind
of bungled themselves in terms of Seattle, because they could have had it. They could have had it.
Either way, years after, those factors are not consistent. Those cannot sustain success. What the Eagles have right now, little turnover on the roster, and an improvement at quarterback. And that's crazy to say, considering how good Carson Wentz was for 13 games last year and how good Nick Foles was for the playoffs. Carson Wentz this year has been better than that. And that is what is so frustrating about the Eagles being 3-4, because you know this team is better than that.
You know what's missing? I know there's a couple things that are missing, but you were addressing the elephant in the room yesterday after the game. This team needs a sustainable running back that can get them 15 to 20 carries a game, that can take the heat off of Wentz. Because when you got Smallwood and you've got Clement, yes, are they good gadget guys? Are they good in the screen game? Their screen game was lethal yesterday. But you need a guy that can pound in between the tackles and be able to get 4 to 5 yards each time. Now, that was Jay Ajayi late last year.
LeGarrette Blount,
they
too.
Also had LeGarrette Blount last year. This is why, I know you were saying, why aren't they pushing for Le'Veon Bell further?
Or anyone. It doesn't even
or
have
anybody
to be
for that
Bell.
Matter.
It could have been Carlos
LeSean
Hyde.
McCoy as well. I think that's more of a Buffalo problem with how much they're asking.
But let's even think smaller. What about what Jacksonville did getting Carlos Hyde for a fifth-round draft pick?
Or get Blount back from Detroit.
It's just there's a lot of things. And look, a trade is not going to fix the Eagles' problems, because I think what they have on the roster already is enough to contend this year for a championship.
They need a little help.
What they need is they everything they have to fix is in-house. It has to do with the coaching, for one. It has to do with the mental errors out on the field by veteran players that should not be making those errors. And then, yeah, it is something where this team needs a little extra juice. I do think Wendell Smallwood cannot be your lead ball carrier. He cannot. He led the team yesterday, 9 carries for 32 yards. That's just, it's not simply not going to get it done. And again, coaching too is a huge part of that. And on the next segment, we'll talk about really who is to blame mostly, but coaching's a big part of it. The way they're underutilizing Nelson Agholor, how soft they are getting, Lars, late in games. It was 17-0, right?
Speaking of soft, how about the coverage in the fourth quarter?
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Like, Newton could have done whatever he wanted.
And it's a recurring theme all year, is how easy it is to drive on this team in the fourth quarter.
And how bad Devin Funchess beat everybody.
They play prevent defense.
He was eating.
It's like a hockey team that their only strength is goaltending, right? And they score one goal, and then they play back for the rest of the game. That is what I felt like the Eagles have been doing all year in the fourth quarter, where it is so easy for teams to just drive down the field and score points. And have they stopped them in the red zone early on in the season? Yeah, but now lately that hasn't been the case. That wasn't the case against Minnesota. It wasn't the case against Tennessee, and it wasn't the case yesterday against Carolina. Was it for the Atlanta win and the Indy win? Yeah, it was. But they haven't been the shut down red zone defense that they were earlier in the season. And look, I would understand playing that soft of coverage with 3 minutes left, right, and you're up by 10 points, but the Panthers had an entire quarter left, and they're only down, I mean, they're down 3 scores, but it's 2 touchdowns and a field goal. And you're playing defense like, we don't care if you keep taking these 10-15 yard chunk plays, keep it coming. And the Panthers did it, and I could tell, I tweeted it out right when it was 17-6, I said, that defense played like they thought there was only 2 minutes left, and that they were killing clock.
Well,
and
you want to talk about the most crucial play in the game? 4th and 10 with 2 minutes left.
I mean,
fourth and 10 at the 31-yard line. Now, you looked at the formation.
How do you not wrap them up?
That Philadelphia had. Philadelphia was playing a flat dime package, which with that, you're going to have everybody cheating up within 7 yards. There's nobody behind because they're trying to make sure they're trying to constrict them within the 10 yards. Now, when the ball is snapped, when Newton looks on his third step, good jam. They had a good jam up in the middle. And also, you had a jam on the right side. But when they release, Newton baits the safety that's playing at the 37-yard line. And
rookie Avante Maddox, by the way, who's a corner.
Mm-hmm. So Maddox
finally caught up to him.
For some reason, Maddox decides to run towards Newton.
Mm-hmm.
When Newton is trying to look for a throw, Newton's stepping up in the pocket, and Maddox bites on it because he's thinking Newton's going to run. So Newton sees Maddox coming up at him, and all of a sudden, one guy squirts open because that's Maddox's assignment. He should not be rushing the quarterback, and Newton finds him wide open for a first down.
It's an embarrassing loss, Lars. It was embarrassing. It was discouraging. It was every word
and
ultimate letdown.
That was the play that lost the game, not the touchdown to Olsen.
Why did the Eagles win the Super Bowl last year against the Patriots? They did not take their foot off the gas pedal. Even when they were winning that game, you knew the Patriots were going to get back into that game, especially in the NFL now with how good offenses have been, especially this year. You're never, especially when you only scored 17 points. The offense was moving the ball at will, but they had only put up 17 points, and that's why, too, this isn't just on the defense. The offense, you got to come away with more points than that heading into the fourth with how successful.
Thing is, Carolina took care of their side of the field.
So
they let Philadelphia get up the field, and by the time they got within the 40, they boxed it up.
But in Nick Foles' book, what did he talk about? It was, we had to keep our foot on the gas. We did not look at the clock. We kept going. Eventually, the Patriots took the lead back. They had to just keep going, keep putting up points. It was that relentless hunger, that killer instinct. And I have not seen that this year with the Eagles in 2018. They, yesterday, looked like they were trying to kill the clock, and there was way too much time left for them to be doing that. Maybe if they were up by 24 points, you have that mentality, but not when there is a whole quarter left and the team opposite of you has a former MVP under center that can, when the plays break down, you don't know what's going to happen. He can make plays happen out of nothing at any moment, and that's what Cam Newton did. He played a spectacular
and
fourth quarter.
And that's the thing, the rookie bit on Newton's reputation of running.
And this isn't a first-time thing. Cam Newton in the fourth quarter is one of the better quarterbacks in the clutch, and that's what we saw once again yesterday from Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers. But again, it was, look, I'll give them credit for it, that they a masterful comeback, especially on the road in what was one of the toughest places to play in the NFL so
Carolina's
far this year.
Carolina's no joke. That's a hard
still,
team
the,
to play
the
each
Eagles
week, but
were
you should have won that game.
There's too many times this year where we're saying, in an Eagles loss, the Eagles were the better football team, and they cost themselves. Coming up next on the Lockdown Eagles podcast, who is to blame for yesterday's loss? What changes need to be made? Are we expecting a trade of some sort from Howie Roseman this week? All the ramifications of that loss, the Eagles now 3-4. They fall 21-17 over the Carolina Panthers. Don't go anywhere. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. And guys, today we're brought to you by MyBookie. Lay down some cash and win big today. I would only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me, and that's why I'm urging you to make your way
to
MyBookie. You win, they pay. Lars, not a lot of winning so far, but if you know who's going to win, Lars doesn't know it. Look, I keep picking the Eagles, so clearly.
Yeah, you're in
either.
The same boat as me,
right,
pal.
But if you know, check out MyBookie. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit
dollar for dollar.
Enter the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, and visit MyBookie online today. You play, you win, and you get paid. MyBookie will match the listeners' first deposit 100% up to $1,000.
Hey, you know, you may not be able to spell, but you may be able to win.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Locked On Eagles podcast. Louis DiBiase and Lars Lewis recapping that chaotic and disappointing 21-17 loss yesterday at Lincoln Financial Field as the Panthers defeat the Eagles. The Eagles now 3-4 on the season. Lars, the offense, they let you down late in the game. The defense, they let you down in the fourth quarter. If you had to say the one person or the one factor that has been the main reason for the Eagles' downfall so far in 2018. And let's focus in mostly on yesterday's game. Who is to blame for yesterday?
Hang on. Can I do this? Okay. So I'm going to give a count of three, and we're going to say which one person is responsible for what has happened. Okay, you ready? One, two, three.
Jim Schwartz.
It worked.
Look, and he's not the only one. Doug Peterson yesterday, it looked like Andy Reid with clock management in the fourth quarter. Why, with over a minute, a little bit over a minute left, The Eagles, Carson Wentz bombed Alshon Jeffrey, who, by the way, if he didn't get hit in that pass interference
call, that's a touchdown.
It's probably a touchdown.
Or it gets within the five.
Regardless, Alshon gets by three defenders down the field. He draws a pass interference call. So you are in Panthers territory. They're after the 30-yard line. They are deep. They are primed to score. And you still have two timeouts left.
Mm-hmm. That's plenty of time.
On second down, they run the football with Wendell Smallwood. So if you're going to take the shots that they did, why not just keep running the or passing the football? What is the point of running there? But you run it, so it looks like you're trying to set up a first down, give you four new plays to take a shot at the end zone with, it'll be at that point a little under a minute left because you still have a timeout or two. But you run that football, so now you have a third and short, and then you take, not only do you take two shots at the end zone, which were both bad plays by Carson Wentz,
mm-hmm.
the second one, he got hit in time. He saw Alshon Jeffrey coming over the middle. He couldn't get the ball off in time. He steps up, and the Panthers make a great play. But also, it wasn't just the decisions they made on third and fourth down, but it was also letting the clock just tick. They killed 30 seconds, which could have been, if you run the football and pick up a first down, those 30 seconds could be three more plays.
It was a pretty rare gaffe, because normally Peterson's really good on that.
It was, and it was on Carson Wentz, too. Look, I'm not, I think, again, we're going to get into Jim Schwartz and the defense, but Carson Wentz, late in the game again, he played a masterful game. A masterful three quarters.
Leading into that last drive, he was 29 of 33 for like 313 yards.
And he was completing over 80% of his throws. But that offense, just like the defense, Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson included, they looked like, again, they were just trying to get out of that game with the win. They did not. They looked hesitant. They looked conservative. They just looked scared. They looked like they were playing not to lose the football game instead of playing to win. And I expect that from a Sean McDermott type of head coach, and I do not expect that from a Doug Peterson. And I won't knock them.
Oh,
it.
Man.
I'm just saying. The entire fourth quarter,
ooh,
they chose to get aggressive on the final two plays.
Did they score 5 points?
They should have been doing
week?
That the entire quarter. The
they
Buffalo
scored,
Bills,
they scored
yeah,
5
they,
points
they,
this
they
Sunday.
They didn't do well.
Look, and it's not all bad.
But
that's bad.
That's, I know. But that is what is so frustrating, again, because Carson Wentz had an incredible game, but even he, late in the game again, he should have been picked off by Eric Reed. Then the next play in the end zone, on that double coverage, the shot to Zach Ertz in the end zone, he probably should have been picked off there. The one ball, the ball to Eric Reed, it sailed over him. It looked like a 2016 Carson Wentz rookie move where he's just sailing everybody high.
It's good that you're bringing up this subject because
it was a bad performance by Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz,
he's not let off the hook here, and he was frustrated.
Let's say this: Carson Wentz is 5-10
yes,
in one score games this in one score games
and
in his career.
I think the narrative is being drawn out a little bit too dramatically today.
But there's
and
some evidence there
because.
There's some.
Look, a lot of those games, the majority of them came in 2016 when he was a rookie. And
right.
They didn't have a lot of talent, and they had opportunities to drive. And
well, it's obvious because they only lost
was
3 games
open.
Last year.
Carson Wentz, though, yeah. Look, he has struggled late in games. But it's not to the point where he is not clutch. And I will fight fans on this one. I don't agree that he doesn't have any clutch gene. Look, he struggled as a rookie, and yesterday, inexcusable. But we go to last year. He got Jake Elliott in range to kick that field goal to beat the Giants. He threw it to Alshon Jeffrey on the sidelines to set up that field goal as time was expiring. With
Jake Elliott has struggled
and
this
they
year.
Won that football game. The next week against the Chargers, Carson Wentz and the Eagles offense kill 6 minutes in the fourth quarter to win that game by one score against L.A. And then the Rams game. I know it doesn't count as a fourth quarter come-from-behind win or a game-winning drive, but when Carson Wentz tore his ACL, he delivered a pass the next play to Alshon Jeffrey in the end zone in the fourth quarter to take the lead on one of the best teams in the NFC. So Carson Wentz late in games, it's not something where you have him and you're like, oh no, we need Nick Foles out there because Carson Wentz turtles in these types of situations. Even this year, his first game back against the Colts, they sustained a big drive down the field to take the lead and to get that win against the Colts. And even against Tennessee, yeah, they probably should have scored a touchdown in overtime to actually get the win, but the offense drove down in overtime, kicked a field goal, and put them in a position to win that football game. So Carson
and the defense
Wentz,
gave it up.
Carson Wentz needs to be more consistent late in games, but he is certainly not a player that has no clutch gene whatsoever. And that's something that I'll argue with fans with. And I'm seeing a lot of people that are just saying he has no clutch gene. And I disagree with that take. He has been inconsistent with it. And he is a guy that, he was also a front runner last year because the Eagles blew out mostly everybody. But there have been big moments where he has stepped up late in games. Yesterday was not one of them, though, and he should not get off the hook because of that.
That's true. That's true.
But Jim Schwartz, though, we got to get to the defensive side.
Well, think about this. Imagine going into that last drive, you've thrown for 300-plus yards, you're at over 80% completion percentage, you've been moving the ball all game long. You expect others around you to be able to help you. If you have that kind of game, you should be winning that game.
But it was, again, too, it was the play calling.
It's like there's a different reason every week that this team loses.
I don't want to see it, but I'm seeing the 2016 takes all over again, where Carson Wentz is at the podium saying, we got to learn to close games out. And I'm thinking, yeah, that was you in 2016 when you guys were 7-9 and you could have easily been 11-5. But last year you won the Super Bowl. I didn't think I was going to have to worry about them not knowing how to finish games anymore, especially when there wasn't a lot of turnover, Lars, on the roster. Again, the core of this team is still intact from last year's championship team. Are there holes in the team that they're going to have to address in the offseason? Absolutely. Some that have to do with age, some with injuries, some with just talent. But I didn't think that these 2016 takes were going to come back to life 2 years later, especially after a championship win. And a lot of it, too, it's on the defense. It's on Jim Schwartz. And why Schwartz got so soft again in the fourth quarter, I will never understand. Schwartz is on thin ice, if you ask me. He's on thin ice with the media and with the fans. I don't know if it's with the coaching staff. Because, look, the Eagles' defense has been one of the best in the league the past couple of years. But the Super Bowl last year, Tom Brady throws for over 500 yards in this defense, who was playing back and back in soft coverage. Then, really, all this year, what have Lars I been harping on mostly about this team? It's the soft coverage. And then again, in the fourth quarter, there's times to do it. There's times for different formations. Right when the fourth quarter starts, you're playing 10 yards deep and letting the Panthers have what they want. That is, it's inexcusable.
Which is weird, because in the first half, they were jamming them. In the first half, they were playing with pressure. They were playing where they were not allowing Funchess to get into the second level and getting open with his big catch radius. It's so maddening to me.
Because they were dominant for three quarters, too, right? That's why part of it's so maddening.
Do you think... Now, you may rip my head off for this.
Okay.
But I need to address this. Winning the Super Bowl, does that invite complacency? Does that invite complacency in certain situations where are they as hungry as they were last year? Now this
it's a simple fact.
Sometimes winning invites complacency.
And yeah,
that's something they gotta address.
I don't know if it's because they won the Super Bowl, but yeah, that is absolutely a factor in why this team, again, it's one of the main factors because they are playing like the team we saw last year for three quarters a lot of the time, and then, yeah, they don't have that hunger, that killer instinct that they did last year. I don't disagree with that. I think that is a big factor. And also another part with
Jim
Schwartz.
We've seen it in a lot of Super Bowl champions in the past.
And with Jim Schwartz, you know, he didn't play Rasul Douglas one time yesterday, which I thought was a big mistake. I wrote an article on LockedOnEagles.com.
Yeah, I saw Gino tweet that too. Yeah, that was very alarming.
Why Rasul Douglas could be a big part of that game against Carolina, and he didn't play one snap. Instead, you have Dexter McDougal in the slot, who you just signed on Tuesday, who barely played at all last year on the Eagles, except for special teams, really. And then yesterday, he's starting in the nickel with Avante Maddox at safety. I don't care if you think Maddox is a better fit at safety than Douglas. I want Douglas and Maddox on the field over Maddox and Dexter McDougal.
Hindsight is 2020.
No,
but
even,
I
thought it was a terrible decision.
I really don't think Rasul Douglas would have bit on Newton stepping up in the pocket.
I think Douglas would have held
his own. And
letting
Smith get open.
I think Douglas would have held his own at safety like he did against the Giants last week, and I want that playmaking ability on the field for the defense over Dexter McDougal and put Maddox inside. I don't think the drop-off, I think it probably would have been an upgrade. I think the fact that you have such a talented player that just barely can see the field is just, it's inexcusable with Jim Schwartz. And it was a player that has made the most of his opportunities this year. I mean, his first snap of the season, He barely plays the entire... He doesn't play at all against the Atlanta Falcons outside of special teams. He comes in late in the fourth quarter, his first snap covering Julio Jones, and he gets an interception. Then against the Giants, he's asked to play safety for the first time in his career in the NFL, and he almost comes down with an amazing one-handed pick. And you're not playing him. Meanwhile, Ronald Darby's getting outmatched by Devin Funchess, who's a big receiver. And I was talking about in the article, Douglas would have fit with him toe-to-toe, over
Facts.
Top. That double move that Darby got beat by, it's just the
That's
same
That's been
stuff.
The whole season. It's the double. The whole season, the double move. When Ron Jaworski tweeted that yesterday, yeah. I'm like, amen. He has seen this
if
all
the title
season,
of this season,
and so have us.
If the title of the season wasn't self-destruction, the story of the 2018 Philadelphia Eagles, it would be death by double move. Death by double move.
That sounds like an action movie.
But Jim Schwartz is, I'm not going to say his job is on the line, but with the personnel they have right now, the formations and the scheme is not getting the job done. And his decision-making is not getting the job done. And it has, though, the past couple weeks. He has changed for the better. I kept saying all season, Jim Schwartz reminds me a lot of Chip Kelly, where he has that stubbornness that he just might not adjust, and he'll blame it on execution. But he, honestly, against Minnesota, against last week against the Giants, heck, even against the Colts in Week 3, he changed things up where he had guys playing closer to the line. He was implementing cover 2, different formations. But then again, he went back to his old self when the game meant the most yesterday in that fourth quarter. The coaching staff really, I think, was the main factor in the Eagles' loss yesterday. It was Peterson, and it was Jim Schwartz. So I think there was a lot of people to blame, but those two are some of the big ones. And look, another part of this, Lars, too, like we mentioned earlier, they need a running back. People were saying the sexy take of the past couple weeks was the Eagles don't need a running back. They need a safety and a receiver. Well, maybe if they can utilize Nelson Aguilar in a way more so that reflects 2017 than 2018 and not have him playing running 1 to 3 yard slants and routes that just have no potential to go down the field when Aguilar is your most explosive target, they're simply underutilizing Aguilar. And you look at the safety position, yeah, that is a big need right now. But also, you have a player in Jalen Mills. I know you're too stubborn to move him from the outside, but Jalen Mills at safety probably would get the job done. I, again, am such a believer in Rasul Douglas that I think with him at safety or with Maddox, I think those are better solutions than what the Eagles have at running back right now. Wendell Smallwood and Corey Clement are not going to get the job done. They need juice on the offense. And there are a lot of running backs that have big playmaking potential that could potentially be on this team. I mean, you look at it, Lars, it doesn't have to be Le'Veon Bell or LeSean McCoy. You know, Tevin Coleman, it would be tougher to grab him now because Devonta Freeman got hurt. But, I mean, a Carlos Hyde type of player. Or maybe you kick the tires on a TJ Yeldon from Jacksonville. They have to do something at the running back position because Smallwood and Clement, they're not going to get the job done.
Yeldon could be available because now Carlos
Hyde's
down
thinking.
In Jacksonville.
And Fournette's going to come back eventually. They signed Jamal Charles. Maybe, and Yeldon's a free agent next year. Maybe they can get a fifth-round pick. And
I just feel like the Yeldon's never been able to get off the ground.
Regardless, it doesn't have to be Yeldon, but it's got to be somebody. And look, again, the Eagles,
you need a shake-up.
The Eagles' issues aren't going to be fixed by a trade, but a trade can certainly help. And some people are talking about now, should the Eagles stop trying to win this year and keep those assets for the draft next year and fix some issues? Until they're out of playoff contention this year, I am not willing to give up on this team. Because even if they get the 6th seed, or if they win the NFC East and they're the 4th seed at 9-7, 8-8, maybe 10-6, I'm still believing with this team,
you
with
can
what still I'm
still win the Super
today,
Bowl with Carson Wentz
and
as
with
your
this
quarterback.
With this roster, I'm still willing to believe until they're out of playoff contention that this could be a title team. So I still want to use some assets to try to save this season because I keep seeing glimpses of that greatness, and I'm still going to give them the benefit of the doubt to figure this out until, again, it says they're out of playoff contention. So with that, I do want to see them try to make a move. But the running game was to blame yesterday, the coaching staff. Wentz turtled when it mattered most. He made the wrong decisions. He was inaccurate. He looked like a rookie again late in that game, and there's a lot of blame to go around, but regardless, next week you play Jacksonville, and that's another desperate team. There were two conference championship contenders last year. The Eagles get to the Super Bowl. The Jaguars lose in the AFC Championship.
Might not even
both
know who's starting
four.
That game, either
right,
Bortles or even Cody Kessler.
Both teams at 3-4, both teams desperate. That's a really good defense, though, you got to go play. That suddenly becomes, when you're 4-3 right now, you're thinking, we can get to 5-3.
You're going
really
into technically the Jaguars
London.
Home.
And it's in London too, which is tough. But you know, you're going into this game now thinking at 3-4, we have to win this game or the season is pretty much over. Or you win that game yesterday and you're 4-3 and you're thinking, if we can get to 5-3 next Sunday.
Well, 5-4. Because
well,
they're 3-4 right
well,
now.
Well, no, I'm talking about if yesterday, if they won the football game. And they
right, then you're,
and
then you're in really good shape if you're 5-3.
That's what I'm thinking
three.
Is you're 4-3 and you win that football game next week at 5-3, and suddenly, yeah, we can get a bye week. We are again headed to greatness in the NFC this year. And Gino even texted me yesterday after Dallas Goedert scored that touchdown, we're back. Because that's what it felt like. It felt like the Eagles were back yesterday. And then right in the fourth quarter when it mattered most, we saw the team that we've seen all season. And that's the toughest part about this. And it's the gut-wrenching feeling you get every time you think about it now because they had it. I mean, just if you're going to rip my heart out, just be terrible to start. Don't tease me for three quarters and play like the stars that you were last year.
I could say also that missed field goal by Jake Elliott swung
Elliott
a
too.
Lot of things.
I mean, they're just not.
Because then they're already in field goal range with the pass interference. They can just run and then win the game.
This isn't the 2017 Eagles anymore, and we gotta realize that. And I think Doug Peterson does, and I think that's why he was talking about we gotta head for the division now. We gotta focus on winning this division because I think he knows they're not going to be the one seed or the two seed this year, and they gotta make things happen with what they got now. Let's take one more break. We'll come back, wrap the show. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast, Monday, October 22nd. We are recapping the Eagles' heartbreaking loss at Lincoln Financial Field to the Carolina Panthers, 21-17. Don't go anywhere. All right, guys, welcome back to the Locked On Eagles podcast. Louis DiBiase and Lars Lewis. Lars, I looked this up now. I did some math.
You
the
can
Eagles,
math?
I can math. The Eagles have to go 7-2 to be 10-6 now this year. That was scary. The season is not over. They have most of their division games, all of them, except for the one game against the Giants, which they won last Thursday. They have all their division matchups left. They can still get into the playoffs and contend, even if they're a wild card team or if they win the NFC East at a lower record.
It's a pretty daunting schedule, though, outside of the division.
They have to go 7-2 just to get to 10-6.
Okay.
That's the hole we're in now.
Okay, how about this? Let's go through each week and give your probability out of 100% that the Eagles can win these games.
Okay,
let's start off with Jacksonville and London this Sunday.
I'll go 65%.
I'm gonna go 75.
Yeah, I think they should win
because
that's a game that they. I mean, again,
Carolina's competent on offense because they have some weapons. What scares me with Jacksonville?
The Jacksonville defense would literally have to shut out the Eagles. Probably. I mean,
that's
how bad the
Jaguars.
That's how bad the Jaguars' offense is playing.
Okay, so Dallas at home. They've played well the last 3 weeks. They've been tough.
I'll say 60%.
I give it about 65.
How about I pick the games? I'll go win-win.
All right, so
5-4.
If you're over 50%, they win.
5-4.
Okay. Saints on the road.
Yeah, I can't pick them to beat the Saints right now. So 5-5.
Giants at home.
They own the Giants. The Giants are one of the worst teams in the NFL. I say 6-5.
Mm-hmm. Eli's not a threat.
Yeah.
This is intriguing. Washington at home.
So what do I have them at now? 6-5?
Yeah, I'm at 6-5. Washington's pesky.
I know they are, and I knew they were going to be a thorn in our side in the offseason. But name one Washington player when they're coming on the field, you're like, oh no, we have to deal with that guy. Washington doesn't scare me at all. I think the Eagles win that game, 7-5.
They're just a bunch of solid players.
That's what I'm saying, but this Eagles team is
better
than
they play well.
I know
they play
do.
Well. They're not.
They beat
they're
the
no
Panthers.
Pushovers.
They beat who we couldn't beat, 7-5.
Okay, then you got the Cowboys on the road.
I'll say Dallas takes one on us. I'll say 7-6.
Okay. Then you got the Rams in L.A.
I can't pick them to beat
the
Rams.
I don't like
Rams
their chances
right
there.
7-7.
Now you get the Texans at home.
I think they win that game at 8-7.
All right. And then you're on, wow, you want to talk about a money game. Eagles-Washington in Landover.
That could mean
a playoff
spot.
That
could be the division. That could be, and yeah, right, because probably there's not going to be two teams out of the NFC East this year.
The NFC East is awful.
Unless the Redskins
That's the only reason why the Eagles are going to be in it all year.
I think the Eagles will win it, and I think, again, I'm probably the optimist of Eagles media right now, because and it probably doesn't sound like it on the pod so far today, but again, I think they get to 9-7, they win the division.
So they go 6-3 the rest of the way.
Yeah, and that is still enough for me to believe that they can make a run in the playoffs. All you got to do is get hot. You've seen that before with the Giants, with the Ravens.
Twice with the Giants.
So, and the best part is, we have an elite quarterback right now. That he's playing like an elite quarterback. Look, you got to be elite.
They've got by far the best quarterback in the division.
They might have one. They have a top quarterback in the league. And look, to be elite, you gotta finish the job, like Aaron Rodgers always does. Yesterday against the Panthers, you got to score. You got to get in the end zone there to really be an elite quarterback. But Wentz has played like that so far this year. His numbers have said that, and that's the thing too is when everyone else figures out their stuff. And I keep saying that, but when everyone else figures out their stuff. We have a quarterback that's ready to take this team to the top. And look again, Wentz. It was on Wentz yesterday, too. You got to get in the end zone there. The decisions were not good. But it's really been the first time that this year I've said, man, Carson Wentz was part of that loss.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's going to let that happen again. How frustrated he was after the game yesterday. They showed a video of him in the locker room slamming his helmet against the door. I trust that guy's going to get it right in late in games. And again, it's not something where I'm concerned with him late in games. He has proven to me that he can do it. It's got to be on a more consistent basis.
It's going to take those two games against Washington. Those are going to be the biggest games of the season for Philadelphia moving forward.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, Lars, let's wrap up the show here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. The Eagles once again fall 21-17. At Lincoln Financial Field by the hands of Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers. The Eagles now 3-4. We will be back tomorrow to discuss the loss some more. We'll get into some trade talks as well. We'll get a little bit more in depth about that, and we'll hit the film room as well.
All hope is not lost.
I agree.
And Eagles Nation, it's not over. It's not over. Yes. Is your hand near the panic button? It's possible. But people, relax. We got a long season ahead.
Lars Lewis joining me today for the show. That'll do it. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Birds, at LarsLewis12, and at DiBiase. We will be back tomorrow for more Locked On Eagles. Thanks for listening, and let's go Birds!